Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter and broker here at Daniel's Trading, which is now a part of the Stone X Group. I work with online traders. I work with broker-assisted speculating and hedging, farmers and producers. We don't just do futures and options now, but also we can do consulting, the OTC markets, which could be like accumulators and double ups, HTAs, physical markets. So a lot going on here. Please give me a call if you have interest in working with us. My number is 800-958-9470. You can find out more about me at turnerstake.com. All my contact information is also in the show notes. If you like this podcast, think someone else might like it, please send it along. If you want to check out the newsletter, all you got to do is text number 33777-33777 with the message Turner, and you can check it out that way. So, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays to everybody. Thank you for listening all this year, and clients, appreciate you working with us. And if you're interested in working with us in the new year, I'd love to hear from you. For anyone, we're going to go quickly into some of the markets. I'm expecting a little bit more of a quieter week between now and the end of the year. But if you are anything you want to do, let me know. I'm going to have some ideas that are both good for speculators and hedging and marketing in the grain markets. And I'll tell you, we'll go dive into what we should be looking for, going into the end of the year. So on the macro side, expecting some quietness. The stimulus bill that Congress got through that the president vetoed and basically said $600 per person wasn't enough and it should be $2,000. And why are we giving all this money, to foreign entities? Or, in this bill, there's money going other places and it's not about the stimulus. I think the reason stimulus got passed was because it did get added to this other spending bill. So I'm going to say, I don't know, it's going to be hard to see the stimulus bill get passed until the new president gets sworn in, which would be President Biden. And then maybe they'll do it. I don't know. It seems to be all up in the air. The dollar has been going up and down based on this news. So is the stock market. And as we come into the end of the year anyways, we start to get lower volume, especially in the week between Christmas and New Year's, which is next week. Christmas Day is Friday. New Year's Day is Friday. So Christmas Eve, Thursday, New Year's Eve, Thursday. The markets close on Christmas Eve around noon, between noon and 1, depending on the market, or noon and 12:45 Central Time, it's all Chicago time, depending on the market. And then we're closed until Sunday night for the futures. And then next week, usually New Year's Eve is a full day, but New Year's Day is closed on Friday. And so we will have trading, but just some limited hours. On Christmas Day, Christmas and New Year's Day. So a couple of things to look forward to in the grain markets. We are up. We're up above 12 now, and I'm not surprised to see soybeans up above $12. What we're going to see here now is if we really are above 12. When soybeans trades above 12, it's usually in this $12 to 15. 15 and a half range when you look back on the charts. And when we've had periods of very tight stocks, under 5 or 4% stock to usage could actually trade in the 13s. Now, what's going to happen here is there's supply in South America, there's supply in the United States, there's demand from all around the world. And how high we go is going to be completely dependent on basically the commercial side of this business, the end user side of this business, to be more specific. If they need beans for meal or oil, you know, will go higher if they have to buy it up. Basically, what the mechanics of how this all really works is the funds and speculative traders, for the most part, see this coming, right? And then they put basically their money where their mouth is, and they get long. And which is why the futures goes up. You know, when we see the open interest and people talk about the open interest and how long the funds are, what they're really saying is this is the scenario that could happen over the next, whatever, 3, 6, 9 months. And will that thesis come true? You know, to put in more of an academic term. So the funds have gotten long. And quite honestly, I don't, you know, they've done their part. I don't see why the funds have to get any longer for us to even go up another dollar or two. I know you need the, you know, when you get into these upper ranges, it's not always volume driven. It's usually kind of a vacuum because no one has, you know, beans. And that may not happen now, but that could happen certainly in the spring and the summer. So when I say this $12 to $15 range, you know, to go up another $2 or $3, don't think the funds have to get into another 100 or 200,000 long positions. They really don't. If the cash market's on fire and there's no beans up there and there's short covering and commercials have to come into the market to basically buy the contract, either hedge their losses and break cash contracts, you know, in the real marketplace, or excuse me, or if they have to take delivery, they'll pay up what they need to pay up to do that. Now, if South America ends up having a great crop and we plant a ton of beans and there's really no reason to go above the levels now, then we won't and we'll come back down. But the mechanics of how the soybean market now trades between now and we know more about the South American crop and even the spring and summer for the U.S. crop is going to be dependent upon the end user and what they need. And that's what really price rationing is all about. So how do we know? Right? How do we know to follow that? Right? The best sign for anyone, you know, your first level is to look at the future spreads. So there's two future spreads you want to look at. The one between, let's just call it U.S. old crop. The old crop in, you know, is July versus November soybeans. And what that is that's all supplies in South America from the new harvest. All existing supplies now in the U.S., so South America and U.S., could be wrapped up into that July contract. And how much do we need to ration until we get to the next U.S. harvest? And when we take a look at July versus Nov beans, we're $1.60 over. So clearly the market is trying to price ration. Now, when we've had really, really tight stocks, I want to say July Nov got to 3, 3.5 over. And those are the years of 12, you know, the drought years where, and by the way, it just wasn't drought back then. You know, we had China coming in a big way, expanding their appetite for soybeans year over year and just needing to come up with more acres year over year to satisfy that growth in China. They were growing as a population. They were growing in wealth. And when, you know, basically as nations get more developed and the population becomes wealthier, and you're going from a underdeveloped country, or emerging market economy into more developed economy. Everyone eats better, higher demand for protein. So a lot of things were going in soybeans' way. At the same time, not only was that happening, but we had the ethanol mandates, and the ethanol mandates, corn for ethanol, kept on going up more and more each year, which means more and more acres in the United States had to be addressed and put into corn, which was competing against what was going on in soybeans. So we were having very strong, you know, for two separate reasons, strong soybean prices, strong corn prices, and the spike for acres. And then when you throw in the drought, that's when you get the prices that we had back then, you know, 8, 9, 10 years ago. That was the situation. What's going on now is we do have a tightness in supply, and we do have real strong demand. And what's interesting, now the demand this time around has nothing to do with the government and programs. It is organic, and the supply obviously is a weather issue. And it has been a little bit of acres coming out of, I mean, really soybean acres coming out of production for the past year or two, either because of the tariffs and the low prices, which shied away from soybean acres, or the very late planting that we saw two seasons ago that ended up having soybeans go into Prevent plant. And quite honestly, probably a lot of those soybean acres were then probably, you know, were deemed corn and put in as corn Prevent plant, but they were probably soybean acres. So that's what's, and here we are with the soybean market in a nutshell. For the next, for the South American crop, even if they have an average crop, we're still going to have tight stocks in the United States. And if we only have 91 million acres soybeans, we're going to produce as much as we use, and we're probably still going to have a sub-200 ending stocks for next year. So high prices for soybeans really aren't going anywhere, especially, you know, and you can't argue. I mean, I don't know how one could argue for 93 or 94 million soybean acres at the expense of corn when corn right now is trading at like 450 in March, right, and over 420 in December. It's just not there to be able to do that. So we're probably looking at 91.5 million corn, 91.5 million soybeans right now. Maybe, you know, wheat has already been spoken for, and a lot of wheat did go in. So you'll see some double crop, but you know, you can't just bet on a huge expansion of acres, more so than what we're already expecting, already adding in about 7 or 8 million from the Prevent plant. So the way the situation is, we are tight. We're going to be tight for a while. Had a couple of questions today from traders who are a little bit newer to the markets and said, hey, you know, have you seen soybeans act like this before? You know, where we can be up 50, 60 cents in a couple of sessions and, you know, just seeing how fast it moves. And the answer is yes. Like, this is what soybeans look like when we get to a 5, 4, 3.5% stock to usage carryout. And it's going to be like this. We could easily go down to $12. Easily go down to $12. You get a couple of days of low volume. Maybe some sales get done in Brazil, or they're not done in South America. I mean, they're not done in the United States. You know, the port strike is done with. Argentina gets some rain. You don't have, you have another slow week of export sales, and all of a sudden, you're at $12 again. The thing is, though, under $12, we have seen exports come in a big way. So the whole point of the market now is to price ration to make sure we don't export, you know, much over 2.3 billion bushels, 100 more billion than what the USDA is already saying. And we're past that pace. We're way past that pace. So we'll probably hang out. I would think we hang out in the 12s and have some pretty interesting trading ranges for a while. I do think that eventually we do have to go to 1350 to get. If South America stays the same, meaning that their production is just going to be average, most likely in Brazil and below average in Argentina, and you know the crush and exports stay strong, but high prices are able to ration it, so we have 100 million on the carryout for soybeans. That really does imply somewhere in the mid 13s for soybeans. I mean, do we have to go down there? Don't go up there? No. But if you look at stock to usage and compare it to when we've been at basically a 3.5% stock to usage or a 3% stock to usage or lower in the past, which we'd be at like 2.5%, which is where we'd be if we're getting close to 100 million bushels. I mean, it's closer to 2%, to be honest. We should be 13. We should be 13 to 14 in the soybean market. And then it's just all going to depend on who needs it on the commercial side. So that's the reality of the soybean market right now. That's why the funds will stay in, all right, and wait. They're going to wait. The funds will wait for that extra dollar to go in, most likely, because unless the weather gets really good in Argentina or the demand just falls off the cliff, the funds will be looking for this to go up another dollar. Now, again, you get a lot of rain, demand steps off, everyone heads for the exits. $12 probably still be support, but or around there, just with the carryout. But that is what we're looking at. So for farmers and traders, how do we do this? I have a rule about. So when it comes to the grain markets, my ideas usually start off with what's going on in the cash market, because that's what's going to dictate, you know, future prices, you know, in any commodity market. And if you look, if you're a farmer and you're saying to yourself, or a trader and you're saying to yourself, we're going to have tight stocks for a while, I never loved getting short on the board. So when I was working with farmers, I don't like selling soybeans. Like, especially when stocks are tight. It's kind of a big rule I have. It's probably my number one rule. Don't get short option premium, you know, when we have tight stocks, because you don't know how high the market can run against you. So if I'm a farmer, what I'd be doing is I'd be making sales with the elevator in the cash market. Now that we're part of StoneX, we can actually, you know, use the OTC market, right? You know, HTAs and stuff like that. I'd be looking at those kind of products to either sell or make sales, right? On the old crop, not in the new crop right now. And then what I'd be looking to do, and if speculators can do this too, is I'd be buying call spreads and financing them with a put, right? It's a strategy. It's a hedger strategy. And it's used from farmers for two reasons. One, if you know you're selling the grain and you want to re-own, you buy the call spread up top in case the market goes higher, and you're buying you're selling a naked put lower, basically saying like, I'll buy my grain back at that price, and it also pays for the call spread going higher. The other reason to do it is if you're a farmer, and let's say you have a lot of grain in the bin, you know, let's say you have a lot of corn, for example. You know, corn runs up. Corn's at 450 right now, around 450 in March, I want to say. You know, let's say you're going to hold on to it in your bin and corn again could go up to maybe the high fours. I might be looking to buy the $5, $6 call spread, selling the $4 put somewhere around even money, right? And my idea is I've got this corn and let's say it's March or April or something like that and we get close to 470 or 480 or 490. You know, it's hard to pull the trigger, especially like, you know, in the heat of the moment, in the fog of war, when no one knows if, you know, we can go higher. The moves are like soybeans are right now, where it's, you know, up and down and up and down, and you can get a vacuum downdraft at any time. It's hard to make those marketing decisions, especially for a farmer where that's your, I mean, really that is your whole source of income for you and your family and your business for the year, and you're making these sales. So I always like to say to myself, realistically, what's the top for corn this summer? It's probably 5, but you never know what happens in terms of drought and stuff like that. So you would like to have some exposure till 6, but you also want to make the cash sales because you don't want to let high 4s get away from you. So you buy that 5-6 call spread, you sell the $4 put because I don't think corn's going back below 4, but if it does, I wouldn't mind re-owning it. Especially if you're making sales at 450, 460, 470, 480. And it's easier. It's kind of a courage call strategy, but it doesn't cost a whole lot because you're buying the call spread and selling the put. The thing is, that's an example of what that looks like. It's not an exact trade rec. I can't make trade recs on a podcast or social media. Nobody can, whether it's Twitter or Facebook, whatever. So I do have that disclosure in there, but otherwise the NFA will get not too happy with me. But, you know, those are the kind of things as an example that farmers look like. The thing is, it's just as good as for a long-term trade for a spec trader too. I mean, I like the grain markets. I do think corn can run up to 5 this summer given the right conditions. I think soybeans could be 14, 15 bucks given the right conditions too. But on the soybean side, you know, if I were doing the same thing and, you know, you're looking at $13, $15, you know, spreads in July beans, right? Because you can always have crop issues and high demand this summer, spring and summer with the U.S. Not like we're off to a great start with soil moisture around here. And plus, we're not going to have the acres that we need to get us back over 200 million bushels, right? I mean, on the carryout. I just don't think someone's going to have to lose bushel acres. And that, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for soybeans to steal that much away from corn at these prices. You know, and then I look to the downside. I'm like, well, what kind of put would I sell in July where I'm like, I'd be happy to, you know, buy beans back if I were making cash sales, you know, here. You know, we're closer to 13. You know, it'd probably be 11. And, you know, on a big pullback in soybeans, which we tend to get every once in a while where you're down 40 or 50 cents in one over a course of a couple of sessions. Could the $11 put in July cost about as much as a 13, 15 call spread in July soybeans? It probably could. So, you know, in terms of the marketing side of this. I don't love selling beans, and I don't love selling call premium when we have tight stocks. I don't mind selling put premium when we have tight stocks. I like making cash sales and then buying calls and call spreads and financing them with puts when we've got tight stocks, especially at a level in the soybean market where you can be pretty confident if we went down below that price, exports would come back in a huge roaring way, which $11 soybeans and $4 corn, it certainly would, considering we're the only game in town and the cheapest feed grain from the corn side right now at these prices, and soybeans, it's just South America, United States, there's nothing else you can do. So those are the ideas. If you are a client or would like to be a client and want to put some of those to use, they are going to be very good for three reasons, all right? The spec trader out there that wants some exposure to grain markets. Two, you're a farmer. You've already sold, let's say, a lot of beans. I know there was a lot of beans sold. Everyone did it. They were selling beans earlier on, and they were storing the corn. So for the bean side, that's the idea of you've sold too much. And the corn side, and more of the farmers I talk to have a lot in storage, it would be using the call spread and the short put almost as like a courage call play, right? But let's keep the prices down because, you know, a couple of years ago, courage calls were cheap. You get them for a nickel. Not the case anymore. So we're going to have to be a little bit more creative to get the same objective. So that is the idea on that. Again, give me a call. I'm happy to go over it with it. I am actually in the office for a while. One of the things about COVID this year is many trade desks, you just can't take off anymore. When we're all working from home, it's very difficult to take off. So I'm not complaining. I've had it better than most this year in my job, in my business. It hasn't been as affected as much as a lot of others. But, you know, if there is one thing that really has affected this industry, especially if you work on a trade desk, is it's very difficult to take any time off until we all get back in the office. When we're all at, let's say, when I'm usually in the office, I'm at a desk with three other guys or women, and one of us takes off for a week, the other three are at that desk to answer the phone. That is really not the case since we've all been out of the office. We can lean on our trade desk every once in a while, but it's hard enough to work from home. So having the coverage thing is difficult. So I will be around tomorrow on Christmas Eve until noon, which is when we close. I'll be around all next week. When we have the markets open from Monday through Thursday, we are closed Friday for New Year's Day. And then I'll be in the office every day until we all get the vaccine in Chicago. Let us go back down. And, hopefully, one day I'll actually be able to take a day off. But until then, you can give me a call anytime, or if you're a client of mine and you have it, you can always text me too. Finally, just want to say, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, have a great New Year. I will do a podcast next week, but everyone enjoy their time. I will talk to you soon. Have a great week, great Christmas, everyone.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.